This morning, just packed up my dream and walked away. I can't say her leaving's caught me with no warning. She got tired looking for them better days. It seemed the sunshine never found our window. Sky got so blue it turned to gray. But a tree gotta bend the way the wind blows. Oh, the wind is gonna blow that tree away. Oh, the world, it shows. There's nothing when it's over but the end. So I guess I gotta find a better way. Francisco. The lady's really gone to stay. But a man's gotta bend the way the wind blows. Or the wind gonna blow that man away.
Couple of 3 days ago, telephone rang, and it had that local sound, right? Sound says somebody's right around the corner instead of a couple thousand miles away. And and a man on the other end of the phone says, "Hey, it's Mickey Newbury." And you know, if somebody had said to me, "Hey, it's Santa Claus," I would have said, "Oh, sure." But it sounded like Mickey Newbury, so I figured. I said, "Where are you?" And he says, "I'm here in town." So I said, "Oh, my." And I said, "What you doing in town?" He says, "Well, I'm going to be at the Bitter End West on Saturday night." Is David Steinberg going to be there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitter End West is a new club that Paul Colby and Freddie Weintraub have put together just down this road from the Troubadour on Santa Monica Boulevard. And all of a sudden, things look up, because I don't think we made any secret of it on the program that we think this guy is some kind of a singer and some kind of a writer. And here he is. Wow, bang. So we're here, he's here, and and that song was called what?
Better Days.
Huh?
Better Days.
Better Days. What's that last? Just do the last couple lines of that thing, will you? It was one line that grabbed me. Last verse.
On a Greyhound bound for San Francisco. Lady's really gonna stay. But a man's gotta bend the way the wind blows. Or the wind's gonna blow that man away.
That's it. Man's got to blow the way the wind blows. Bend the way the wind blows, right? Or the wind's going to blow that man away. That's a great line.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got some new stuff, huh?
Got some new stuff.
Tell them where you live. Tell them what you live on. Because I don't know if I ever mentioned it.
I live on a houseboat.
Is it a houseboat for real houseboat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it flat bottom, or is it sort of catamaran, or what?
It's a deep V. It's like a cruiser, except it's wider.
Really? You can take it and
yeah, I can take it in the ocean.
Wow.
I can leave where I'm sitting and go about 1,000 miles to the Gulf, and got wings.
Yeah, that's right. How does Nashville connect to the Gulf?
Cumberland River to the Ohio to the Mississippi, Mississippi to the Gulf. New Orleans.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How many rooms you got?
Three rooms and a bath. And a shower, if you could call those rooms. Could you, Russ?
Yeah, they're rooms.
We lived on a houseboat, a beached houseboat, the summer I got out of the Army.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, they really are. This is a double decker. We had bedroom upstairs. That was mine.
Is it one of those that has to be pulled around with a towboat?
It would have had to have been, but they'd taken it and they put it up on a beach, and there's a little private beach, and there are two houseboats and sort of an old boathouse that turned into a cottage that we moved into eventually.
Chell Silverstein lives on one like that down in Sausalito.
Up in Sausalito.
Everything's right. Down to me.
Yeah. But there's only one thing I didn't like about that thing.
Okay.
I'm 6 feet tall, and the door was about 5'9". I kept on banging my head.
So, I don't have that problem.
Well, you tell. I'll tell you.
5'8".
Oh, come on.
That's all.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, how tall is Mickey Newberry? I said, I don't know, 6'1". I guess somebody man projects. You were saying, for some reason, that a lot of people thought you were, what, a recluse or something?
Yeah, they thought I was a hermit.
Yeah?
Because we stay on the house. You know, I got married a year ago. We stay on the houseboat and don't get into town much. I don't know how I got started. I don't think I've ever given anyone the impression that I didn't enjoy their company or didn't want anybody around. But the word got around that I was a recluse, and Johnny Cash made the statement that I had a submachine gun. Mattered on the front of it, you know.
On your boat, and everybody, yeah. Everybody, stay away, right?
And Russ sent.
Russ is Russ Miller of Electra, who's also here. Welcome.
Sent Lonnie Mack down to see me a few months ago, and I never had met Lonnie. He's really a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he came back. Russ said, "Hey, he got out to see me," and he said, "No." He said he talked to some people in town. Everybody in town told him that I was hard to get, and they couldn't find me. And I told Russ, I said, "No one ever bothers looking in the phone directory because my number's listed." I get people. They call, and I say, "I've been looking for your phone number for 9 months. And I got it from so and so." And I say, "Well, it's right in the phone book."
Yeah, but you don't live in Nashville proper, do you?
No, I live in Hendersonville, which is like a suburb.
Yeah. On the water.
On the water.
Is it on the Cumberland River?
It's on Old Hickory Lake. It's a dammed up river is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not really a big lake.
How long you live there?
Oh, almost 2 years.
2 years. When did you make Looks Like Rain?
Oh, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
I started it, just about 2 years ago.
Well, because you told me something before. You know, the rain sounds, and then there are chimes. And I didn't realize that the chimes on that. Tell them what the chimes are.
They're hanging on the outside of the boat.
And those are the actual chimes you recorded? Wind chimes.
They're right on the outside of the boat. People come in, and I'm sitting around playing the guitar, and they think they're going crazy, like Russ, because he was hearing the chimes out there.
And the rain. I understand he came down, it was raining outside, and the chimes were thinking it sounded just like the record. Yeah. You got some more new songs, Mick?
I'll tell you why
I'm pressing him on this, because we've been sitting around here playing records and rapping and what have you, and now it's late, and everybody's got to go, so we turn on the box, right? And which is groovy, you know. But he said there were a couple songs he wanted to do, and we'd like to have you hear them. Four of you go over to the Bitter End West on Saturday night.
I got married, and I tried to write some love songs for my, you know, it's
for Pretty Susan.
It's not a time to write sad songs, you know. So I set out to write some love songs, and I couldn't do it. But I did write a happy song.
All right.
Doggone my soul, how I love them old songs. They were a comfort to me when I was alone. Dancing stops, but the music.
music goes on. Doggone my soul, how I love them old songs. Ah, when I hear that double ego guitar, it makes me think how trouble-free girl we are. There was a time I spent my time in a bar playing that old jukebox until the honky-tonk locked up. Doggone my mind, it just won't leave me alone. Keeps on reminding me I'm so far from home. Them heartbreaking, aching, eggs and bacon country songs. Take me back to hardwood floors, outdoor Johnson Mason jars. It's all I can do to believe that it's gone. That hard knocking, rock and rolling life that I've known. But the dancing is over, and the music must go on. Doggone my soul, how I love them old songs. Whew.
Hey, I'm gonna fix something in just a second. Consider it fixed. All right. See, you got another one like that?
Yeah, I wrote about five songs like that.
All right, we're going to have the happy Mickey Newbury, because, you know, there is one thing about Looks Like Rain. It is a very integrated album, but there's a lot of pain on it, as well as a lot of rain. So this is the first happy Mickey Newbury I ever heard.
Well, I don't want to rock, I don't want to roll, I just want to feed the hungry, knowing that my country's sold. Ain't got no mind to write no message in this song. Too many words get in the way between what's right and wrong. So I ain't really got a whole lot to say. Likely or not, my lady, they won't hear it anyway. So we're just gonna pick guitar and sing a funky song, so the mockingbird don't feel so all alone. Too many preachers preaching, Lord, it's plain to see that no one would want to listen to a fool like me. 'Cause I don't wanna roll, no, I don't wanna rock, I don't want to go where we're all going to. I'm turning back my clock. They tell me right is right, well, why is left all wrong? That's why the mockingbirds refuse to sing their song. Tell me right is right, well, why is left all wrong? That's why the mockingbird refused to sing his song.
Another vote for reaction, by golly. I'm with you. Yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
They are. That you were singing something when you were walking around.
That was it.
Was that it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah, I felt it was in somewhat the same vein. You like that guitar, huh?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right. Use it Saturday night. Groovy.
I think I would enjoy doing that.
All right. I'll find the case for you.
You know, the old guitar...
Hey, do you use an Arthur Godfrey attachment? You know, capo?
No.
You don't? Okay.
I play everything in the same key.
The key of me, right? M-E.
Oh.
That's my key. I don't know. Keep going.
Would you like to hear another one like that?
I'd like to hear another one like anything. I want to hear Mickey Newberry.
Well, let's see. I wrote this thing, guys, when I was... I went down to New York to do the Bitter End about 6 months ago, and I just got married. I hadn't been married a couple months. And, got down in the dumps down there, you know. But it's not really a sad song. I don't want me no big city woman. If you love the bright lights, you can stay. 'Cause I'm finding my way back to Nashville. We'll be gone before the dawn meets the day. I don't need me no Cadillac automobile. I don't need me no pocket full of cash. It's been a whole bunch of fun, but my flying is done. Is a hard place to crash. Baker Street News, have you got the morning blues? Hey, can anybody help you find your way out of this town around these sneaker feet shoes? Lord, my worn out cowboy boots. Well, they just can't seem to find their way around. Oh, well, I found that I don't want me no big city woman. If you love the bright lights, you can stay. 'Cause I'm thumbing my way back to Nashville. Yes, I will be home before the dawn meets the day.
All in favor, say aye. Nice being married, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think bachelor's life's a mug's life, personally.
It's bad, man.
You know, I see some of my friends, they get to a certain age, and they say, oh boy, wouldn't it be nice, you know, to be... I figure they're not really married. They had a wedding.
California has really been lucky for me. You know, the first time I came out here, I met my wife.
Really?
2 years ago.
Susan, you from California?
She was with the Christie Minstrels, you know. And she was.
Well, they sent her out here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the second time I came out here, I took her back with me and married her. And the third time I came out here, I wound up with Electra.
That's so right.
And I met you.
Well.
And you've really been a morale booster for me.
Well, we tried, because it's only the truth. The if you weren't listening Tuesday night, then you didn't hear us tell you that the record Looks Like Rain, which is almost totally unavailable and is the Mickey Newberry record. You didn't make any others, did you?
I made a... An album with Victor about 4 years ago.
Which is probably a little harder to get.
Yeah, and a little, it's a bad record.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know a number of good people who made bad
records.
That's
the first time I'd ever tried to work with a group, you know?
Yeah.
And
a group?
Yeah, work with somebody backing me up. Oh. You know? See, I cut this album just with a guitar, and I put put everything else on.
It looks like rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I break time and everything, you know, so just from being used to working by myself. And the first album, I was like I was in a cage trying to listen to what everybody else was doing, you know, instead of doing what I was.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, you can still look around for the Mercury copies, but frankly, I don't think they deserve the income. Elektra will be re-releasing this album sometime within the next year and a half. However, there's going to be new Mickey Newberry material with a B-U-R-Y. No B-E-R-I. Do you know, on the Roberta Sherwood record, here it is.
Every record's like that. As I know it. I know.
You want to take this home with you? I don't think we're going to play it again. I thought you might want to keep it for curiosity. But
that probably wasn't her fault, you know. It's probably some genius's fault that recorded her. I don't know who did it.
Who is D. Gilmore?
Oh, please. He's such a good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he gave me the title for that song.
Because that's what it says, Mickey Newberry, M. Newberry, D. Gilmore.
Oh, I thought you were talking about he produced it.
No.
Oh, well, that's okay then. Let's see, who was it produced by? Oh, it was produced by another friend.
Uh-huh.
Well, God bless him. I don't know who it was. I don't know.
Anyhow, so the record will be available. All you have to do is exercise patience or have a tape recorder. In the meantime, but there's going to be, you know, brand new Mickey Newberry releases from Elektra, which makes us very, very happy because he joins a lot of people that we've been playing for a long time on a good label. And quite obviously, we spent an awful pleasant afternoon. Russ Miller over there certainly seems to understand what Mickey's all about, and that's the biggest thing. If you get somebody who not only likes you, digs what you do, but who understands.
Yeah, that's. I feel really fortunate about that because everybody I've met at Elektra seems to be really great. Not because he's sitting here.
They're nice people. Let's grab another song out of your bag. Now I'm going to let you out of here, but you got to promise that as soon as you've done the gig, you come back and we'll do a whole number. I'll just leave this. I'll leave this as part one of the tape, right?
Oh, you're not my same sweet baby lady. No, you're not the same sweet baby I knew. Ah, the world's all gone wrong, girl, but I'm not the man that can change it for you. So I guess I'll be packing my bags and silent be gone. What's the good in pretending and watching it drag on and on? No, the good is in ending it while there's the time left to say that you're mine. Cause you're not my same sweet baby lady. And all the bright lights, lady, they've taken the baby.
Girl, I'm not saying my bubble's so great that the hard times won't break it too. I'll just be packing my bags and I'll silent be gone. Cause what's the good in pretending and watching it drag on and on? Now the good is in ending it while there's the time left to say that you're mine. Cause you're not my same sweet baby lady. But girl, I ain't saying I haven't done some changing too. So please stop your crying. No, no, I ain't trying to lay the blame off on you. Let me finish my packing and I'll be silently gone.
If you've written a better song, I'd like to hear it sometime. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
Come back soon. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Susan.
Now, we've been sitting here talking about the music business, about all the things that go on. I'd like to take you back to where I first learned how to play the guitar. Spent a lot of years in the attic. You want to get in trouble, let me tell you how to do it. You get your guitar and you ride into it. You practice all day and about half the night. Folks tell you never will get it right. They're always fussing at you. Won't let you practice, trying to run you out in the hen house, the coffee house, the odd house, anybody's house but your house and their house. And they always say, get out of here. Bought me a guitar a year ago, and the fella said to learn in a week or so, and he gave me a book and a pick or two, and he said, there it is, Jared Jeff, it's up to you, that dirty dung. Charged $4.95 every cent of money I had. I bought me a big old Stella Hummingbird. Gorgeous guitar. Smooth action, only had one fret on it. You could lay down under the strings. I had a big autographed picture of Gene Autry on it. Said, lots of luck, kid. Champion's eyes glowed in the dark. Since it's gone, spent the dough, didn't want to go to waste, you know. So I took my guitar, books, picks, and all, and went down home where the grass grows tall. Richmond. Good place to be if you got a guitar. Don't mount to a great deal if you ain't. Yeah, for weeks and weeks of practice hard, just trying to learn a few main chords. The book said it was easy as A, B, C. You know, my fingers got to kill me and they were sore on the ends. Both ends, I noticed gangrene was creeping in up to my elbow. And slapped the capo on my arm to keep swelling down the first three frets. Yes, Make an E chord with just one finger. But I practiced hard both night and day, and I could see Ma's hair was turning gray. You know, her face was lined with discontent, and I could see her patience was darn near spent. She was agitated and kind of nervous, said she wanted to scream. She did. Yeah, my sister took things the worst of all. She got married that fall. She said it was love, but I got my doubts. Think the old guitar just drove her out. Heard tell she's 3 or 4 weeks late, and her boyfriend sent her a get sick quick card. Remember that? Came postage due. That's the kind of guy he was, I guess. Well, my old man took things a different way. He said, son, you may turn your ma's hair gray and drive your sister away from home, but either you and me's gonna roam, and I ain't leaving, boy. He got that far-off look in one ear, and he said, there's a train leaving at noon, be under it. And he nodded out in his T-shirt. So the very next day, when my clothes was back, slung a guitar across my back. It was in a hard shell case. Caught me the end of a long gray train to search this world for my share of fame. Ain't found too much, nothing but hardships and heartaches and handouts. Guitars, banjos, mandolins, dobro. Been to Shreveport a couple times. Pianos and everybody else's sister.
Well, they found him. It took about 3 months of looking, but they found him. You know, that's the first time I've ever heard of somebody being scheduled into the Troubadour or any place else for that matter and having to be canceled because they couldn't find him.
I was up the St. Lawrence River. I was up Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
You know, I talked to Travis over there, you know, and he said, he's on a bike someplace. Nobody knows where he is. And you know, you were, up until about a week before you were supposed to open, if you don't know who this is, friends, you haven't been listening much.
It's Herbie Blivitz.
Of the Bronx Blivitz.
Right.
Right.
Famous dancing dogs in the polar bear act.
Right. It's Jerry Jeff. And finally, tomorrow night, right, he's opening, as far as we're concerned, lead act. But he's Democratic as heck. He's going to go on first and let Waylon Jennings have a shot at going on second because he figures that you people work hard and you're going to come in during the week, right? And you're going to come in for the early show and the late show, and therefore, if he goes on first, you're going to get home early enough to get some sleep, which I think is very, very nice. Jerry Jeff. Anyhow, he's going to be...
Waylon can stay up more hours than...
That's right.
...than we all can. That old country picking, right?
That's right, with a little help from his friends.
That's right, you just pick all night and pick all day, too.
Anyhow, Tuesday through Sunday of this week, tomorrow, at the Troubadour, 9081 Santa Monica Boulevard, telephone number for reservations and make them, 276-6168. Jerry Jeff Walker, Waylon Jennings. But how'd they find you, finally?
Oh, I called the office for money. I said, send me some money. I'm running out of money. And they said, oh, do you think you could open the Troubadour in about a week? I said, nope. And I said, but I'll be back in the States in about 2 weeks. I went back and played a place in Woodstock.
What's the name of that place?
There were two clubs there. One was the Playhouse, where the band recorded their last album, and the other was... place called the Elephant.
That's where Freddie worked.
Yeah, Freddie was one of the... it's great. It was just total chaos, but it was a good club to run. They gave it away. One of those things.
Really?
Yeah. The music was good, and there were just too many... you can't have a club in Woodstock because everybody there is a performer. And, of course, you know, they come into the club. You'd have a full house, and there'd only be like four heads that have paid.
Right.
Right, you know? And then during the day, we'd all go over there and eat. Free.
Right.
Hey, go get some eggs. I'm about to send out a roast beef sandwich. Okay, go. That's not Sam. So Sam Hood gave it away.
So he went broke smiling, right?
So I smiled. All the music was great. Sam would be dancing around the back, just, you know, having a good time. And so then when they, then somebody canceled out, and so Freddie said he'd come over and play. And boy, when they said that, boy, Capitol moved. 85,000 tape recorders up there, and but the problem was they didn't tell anybody else that Freddie was playing. A whole bunch of real hip people came, and executives, and but they never told the public that he was playing, and it was just kind of a funky thing. That was that sort of way the elephant went. They were more excited about actually having the music than they were about getting people to come.
Well, getting Freddie out of Coconut Grove to do anything.
Out of lethargy, actually, is where he was.
That's a good place to be.
Right, lethargy, New York, is a little town.
Yeah. Speaking of getting people out of place, I thought, you know, because Freddie told me that, well, last time I talked to him, last spring, I guess it was, that Jerry Jeff was living down in Key West. And I figured, all right, there's an address for Jerry Jeff Walker someplace in this world. Now, it's your manager's office, right?
Yeah, I left the Keys. They're excavating there and filling. I had a really great house out on this point. You could see the Atlantic Ocean on one side and the Gulf of Mexico on the other. Right?
Yeah.
From the front window to the back window, you could sit in the living room and look out and see both. And all of a sudden one morning I woke up and I heard this little... A little rumble in the house. I looked out and this great big crane. Scoop goes the coral. They were exploding the coral. They blow it up and then they scoop it up and they make landfill. All the land there naturally is only about 2 or 3 inches above water, and you got to have like 5 feet to keep above the high tides and the heavy winds and rains and stuff. So they land, they blow the coral under the water up, and then they scoop it up on the land, make landfills. And it was just... There they were, right in my backyard.
A little noisy.
A little noisy, a little spooky. I woke up and said, my God, the war's just over the hill. Come on, Ma, pack the suitcases. I'll be here by morning. So we packed up and split.
Packed up and split. So you're on the road again.
Yeah, I'm just running around.
Where are you from?
I was born about 50 miles north of Woodstock, a place called Oneonta, New York.
Yeah, I know Oneonta.
Iroquois League Nations up there, mm-hmm. Mohawk Valley. Spent 3 years living. I went to school there, and I split on the road when I was about 17, and went to New Orleans for about a year, and then I went to Texas.
Ate two shugs, right?
And I attended bar at the Bridge Circle in Bridge City, Louisiana, across the famous Huey P. Long Bridge there.
And that's a very interesting bridge, friends, because it cost $17 million in 1934, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Right, but the trains and cars go across the same bridge.
Never come back.
Never come back, right. They just dump into Thibodeau, which you know is nowhere. So now I'm just out running around just trying to... And I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
Ordinarily, I don't go into biographical stuff at all, but this time, I just don't know anything about you, Jerry Jeff.
Well, there's not too much to know about me. I like wine, women, songs, staying out late. I just wrote a song, I can't remember all of it, but the one verse says, got to tell you, woman, you've been giving me the runaround. Says I like to... Oh. Don't you come on, woman, unless you plan to go make it all the way. Cause I like to stay up late at night, and I love to drink my bourbon whiskey straight.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's a recurring theme.
Drinking?
Not so much that.
Or staying out late.
Staying out late, drifting way of life, but first you got to get their attention. Things like that.
Pat Sky says... Jerry Jeff Walker only knows how to write songs about derelicts. In fact, he says, I'm going to send him a dead bum for Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Dave Van Ronk comes out here and starts quoting Patrick Sky. This is somebody I never met, you know.
Patrick? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I ought to someday.
Yeah, well, Patrick's is quite a... I don't know. He's Louisiana.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah, he's from Louisiana, up near Shreveport, Baton Rouge, I think, somewhere near there. He's living up in Rhode Island now. He's got a little cabin out there, and he came into town the other day just frothing at the mouth. looking for trouble. I said, I can tell it. All the signs of cabin fever.
Right.
Charleston, Rhode Island, he's living at. And, God, he says, where are the women? Where is the booze? Give me something. Just pour it all over me. You know, and then you come into New York and debauch yourself for about 3 days, and then you're ready to go back to the country and get some clean living.
Dave was out here. He's working the Golden Bear, right? And that's down in Huntington Beach. He didn't have a car. I don't think he drives. You know, he's a city boy.
He won't fly. You know, he comes out by train.
I thought he walked on his knees.
I know. He won't take a plane. Yeah. He's right, though, man. I'm getting to that place with planes, too, boy. It's just weird. They're just... Allegheny cannot be trusted at any point. Just that's an Eastern airline. I think they only come as far as...
No, they don't come out here.
They only come as far as Newark.
Not New York, friends. Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey.
You can drive it in a cab in 20 minutes.
Newark, New Jersey is a city without an excuse. It's a suburb with slums. I don't know. There's a couple of million people there, and they don't do anything except be in Newark. Mm-hmm. I know. I lived there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's probably, next to Baltimore, I think it's the most dreary place in the United States of America.
Yeah, it's always gray and just kind of a lot of,
A lot of people mad at each other.
But planes, I think they got to go through. I guess they're at the bulging point right now. Their importance and their place in society now is as bigger than they're prepared to be to handle at this time, you know. And so they're going through these kind of growing pains.
Well, they're actually riding half empty or better than half empty most of the time. You know, all of these things they show you on TV, right? We've got the new service where we put in 5 seats instead of 6, or we have this new thing we're going to take care of the coach passenger, what have you. It's because most of the time those planes are riding like with 25 people in them, the ones that seat over 100, you know, and never mind the 747s. Somebody told me they were on a 747 and there were 12 people on the plane.
And friends, that's alone.
Say, where are you?
Right, the stewardess on those planes, they talk by phone to each other. You know, hello, would you send down a Coca-Cola? All right. You know, and at the other end, she doesn't really come down, she rolls it down the aisle. You know.
Cough for tea or what? No, well, you will, I'm out. Right?
Then the problem must be, like, in the concentrated urban areas. Like, there's in the northeast between, like, as far down as like Washington D.C., up into Boston, all through there.
Well, then they got the shuttle flights every hour.
Yeah, there are all these small airlines. There's Allegheny, there's Mohawk, there's Piedmont, and North Central, and those planes are always packed. Those are like the 30, 40 people.
Yeah, and they're
planes.
Fokker tri-motors.
And oh wow, man, those things are just—they're overworked. They're behind.
Vertically to get to your seat, right?
What seat? DC-3s, what seat
right?
was that?
But
The seat was taken.
Sing a song, dude.
Okay, let's sing something. I'm going to do a song about a derelict.
Pat Sky says you write songs about derelicts.
That's true, but yes. Pat Sky should know. This song called Stony.
Yeah.
Since we've been sitting here rapping and, yeah, I guess you can say bullshit because bullshit's in the dictionary. It is. It's a legitimate word. It has always been one of favorite mine because I'm like a juicer. Christopherson said,
I knew there was a reason I was supposed to meet you because they said you were a juicer. He says, there aren't many of us left.
Living in a head world. And I like to hang out at bars and have a few drinks and maybe have the possibility of meeting a complete stranger and sit there and bullshit. Just not harming anybody, just carrying on the old art of conversation. And this song here happens to be about one of the great all-time artists of this field. First rivers running stony, some bar downtown was in Richmond, Virginia. We were just bumming around, suitcase to suitcase. We started in talking, finding out about the things we shared in the miles we'd been. I had a gray pillowcase full of books by Durrell. He had his old concertina, beat up and played like hell. Till you got him started singing those gospel songs. And he sang all night for nothing. He told those stories till dawn. He said, come on, boy, get your bags and come with me. Sun's up and it's time to go. You know, there ain't no better time than early in the morning, walking the road. Yeah, getting a hold of another day beginning, instead of out just always rushing on by. Like you're some Mr. Independence, taking your own sweet time. Mm-hmm. We walked down out that highway, a clear blue sky, listening to the tales he told, drinking warm red wine. The time he made sixes, some old girl he done wrong, and all the things that he dreamed about while we walked along. Stoney had a magic, made him hard to forget. Like the night we flew down the highway, this old pickup truck that nearly wrecked, with some crazy woman driving, she's all drunked up and carrying on. Stoney finally calmed her with a gospel song. Mm-hmm. Well, we split the road down at Norwood. He just shook my hand. He said, I'll see you someplace, friend. No, he never has. We were that free then, just walking down the road, never caring where the highway I want you to know Stoney was a liar. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But just the way he told things made you never want to doubt him. As he kept you going when the road got rough. He brought you through all the lean times by making it up. Hey, Patrick. Break a leg, will you? Oh. Thank you.
Lord, we love that song. That's our favorite out of the new album.
Yeah, me too. That's something I sometimes introduce it by saying that I read a book by Nicholas Kazantzakis, who, in his own biography, he talks about when he was a kid living in sort of a poverty situation, but he never thought of it that way. And he made things up to fill in for the gaps that were missing. And he said when he was a kid, they always told him, don't do that, that's lying, you know. You know, you can't do that. Don't tell things that aren't true. So when he got older and he did that, they called him a creative artist.
Right, right.
He says, as he filled in with his imagination, they called him a creative artist. And I think that's part of what's in Stoney. You know, he kept you going when the road got rough. Just when you could sit and bemoan yourself, you just sort of make up things. Except yeah. He had such a good way of doing it that he never told you it was made up, you know, which broke your heart sometimes.
I had a counselor at a summer camp once, and he used to tell us stories to get a bunch of ruffians off to bed, right? And he always told them as if they were true. And they were stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want anybody to ever tell me. I knew, you know, kid knows someplace that he's getting a story and it isn't true. Because if everything that he said that he'd done and the people that he knew, including people who were around before he was born,
right
was true, it'd be quite a career. But
there was a guy living down in the Keys. He was he was cook, and he was the son or the grandson of the famous cook. I don't know when he lived.
You mean Captain Cook?
Yeah.
Oh, James Cook. He lived. He died in the 1770s.
Yeah. Well, then
in
this
the Sandwich Islands, which are Hawaii now.
Yeah. Well, this guy was like then his grandson, probably his great grandson.
Yeah.
At that point, and he was 80 some years old, living on an island. He lived there since 1930. The Keys. One of the stories, he supposedly had walked barefoot across Africa. Had his house was a house just full of stuff from all over the world. He said, like, he was all the way, he was back to one little room that he lived in. The rest of the house was just full of junk that he collected all over the world and stuff. And I was asking one of the natives, the Conks, as they're called, the people born and raised in the Keys there. The guy was like, he was 70. I said, you know Cook, you know? And the guy said, he said, yeah, I talked to him a lot. He said, he bullshit there, you know? And I said, what do you mean? I said, I thought he was quite famous and done a lot of things. He said, yeah. He says, one day I sat up and listened to his stories. He said, I figured it out. He'd be 140 years old. So he figured out all the stories, and when he sort of kept the time things, that that was too much.
Yeah, but you don't want to hear it.
No, you don't.
No.
Yeah, but the good stories, right?
Yeah, and there's always, you know, when you're a kid especially, you think, oh, boy, he did that? Wow, maybe I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Listen, I got news for you. When I was 12 years old, everybody's got their splits, right? When I was 12 years old, I went through a period of being insufferably hip. I guess I was about a third-string road company Noel Coward. Anybody opened their mouth, I'd have a topper and the whole number, right? Mm-hmm. And I was with a bunch of very bright kids, all of whom did this kind of number. At the same time, I never made a wish, conscious, verbal or what have you, without changing it, to wish that I could go to the land of Oz, man. Really, you know. Now, I knew the place didn't exist, but I didn't want to know the place didn't exist. I got all the books and the whole number. So I think listen, let's face it. What do we really know? You know, we know what we're told. We know that what society accepts as fact, right? But unless you go out and do the experiments yourself or been there and you're sure you're in your right head, you don't know.
Yeah, but as you interpret facts and information, your head does it fills in too. And then it passes on factual information
plus fantasy to another head that interprets that and adds its own fantasy to it. Like I said, oh, yeah, we were all out on the farm, and there was this big black horse and standing by the red barn. Everybody here gets an image of how big that horse is, how the barn is shaped like. There's certain words that do that. You know, like mother. You say mother, well, everybody immediately has an image, which is their mother.
Yeah. And it's a Russian mom thing.
But it's we're using the word, but we're all taking it to different places.
As
we start to describe the woman, it would come out as a great composite, I'm sure.
And there's a Rashomon thing, you know, where three people involved in an incident, and they each got a story. Four. And they each got a story, and none of the stories are the same story, right? And they're doing it for their own self-interest, but just talk to any cop who has to take the depositions of people at an accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
All eyewitnesses. You never know it was the same accident.
Right.
Yeah, so we actually all do go by stories that some of them we call fact because it's safe. Yeah. You know, actually, you did Stoney. You got some portraits that I love, particularly. I think the audience does too. And we got some of them on record. If you got anything more that's a description of something, but we love My Old Man, Mr. Bojangles, of course. Mm-hmm. But My Old Man and Fading Lady. Yeah,
it was a bummer to go through it, but it came out pretty good at the end, didn't it?
What, Fading Lady?
Yeah, it was a bummer to go through it. I say the experience of where I got to write that song was. I'll tell you about it in a second. I just had an idea to play something. I feel like playing some.
Okay.
You have this one on that same album, but this is just a little different version of it.
It just moves
This is KRHM Los Angeles, just to get the ID in, because it's about the half-hour mark. Go ahead.
This is sort of the way I wrote the song, and I've been performing it lately. A song called Dust in My Boots. Jerry Jeff Walker Ramblin' song number 468,002. Just set it up a little bit. This is that time between the in relationship where the guy turns to his chick and he says, well, honey, I don't know. Things have got me uptight lately, and I think I'm going to split out for a while and get a little wind in my hair and just kind of clean my head out. I'll be back in 2-3 months. Do what you have to do. I won't stand in your way. And about 10 years later, he comes back and says, says this song. Started traveling, my mind to unravel. Footloose train thought it played. Now the knots unwound, gal. I'm singing a different song now. Don't believe I'll ever change my ways. 'Cause I'm a rambler. My love, youth, I've gambled. Songs I sing, ramblers blue. The use and take and heart, gal, 'cause it ain't in my cards now. I can't kick the dust off my boots. trying for excuses. I'll tell you true how I feel. You understood my leaving. Now don't you go to grieving. If I say rambling's all that's real. And I say rambling's all that's real.
Like hearing it the first time.
Yeah, it was just rolling on there.
Yeah.
That's the way I probably should have recorded it. It was an old song I didn't do very much. It's only two chords. It's probably about the simplest song I've ever written. And I wasn't doing it much. And so David Bromberg, who was playing with me at the time, worked out a little finger-picking thing that he did to the song and kept encouraging me to sing it. So that's the way we recorded on the Just a Way of Life album. And somehow I'll take the simplicity that I wasn't sure of before. I started performing it again, and the confidence in it came back, and so I really enjoy singing it. I just thought it was too simple, and nobody cared about that little idea, you know, and I sort of let it fall.
I think that's being a little too close, isn't it, to material?
Oh, it always was for me. I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed playing it and doing it. It's just that I enjoyed playing things for people that they can identify with, you know.
Well, what has two chords got to do with that? If two chords work,
It was just too simple an idea. I thought it was just had gone past. Not many people had gotten into that position where were in a position that they needed to have that said, you know. Or we're going to say that.
Everybody gets there sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, how about a little 6-8 quick step here with Mr. Bo Daniels? That might be pretty nice. You'd like me to play that?
I'd love you to play that.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard Nitty Gritty Dirt Band do that?
I have heard it once, and I thought it was fantastic. I said, now that'll never go anyplace. Nobody, that's too cool. And it's going up the charts.
Yes, sir, and they did it deliberately. They said, you know, it's time for that again, and it's time for that with a group, and we think we can sell more records than Jerry Jeff did.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic version. I really enjoyed it. That old man in the front is just fantastic.
Uncle Charlie?
Yeah, it came from us in 1906. Born in 1884.
Yeah.
It's great. Even taught my dog to sing.
You know, it's a funny thing. John Denver made his first album, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Bojangles. Harry Nielsen, who can write a pretty good song himself.
He did a good version of it, too.
Did Mr. Bojangles. Now, I don't know how many records that thing sold. Do you know?
Sold?
Sold, yeah. Your copy. Rich, first time around.
That was a rough, loose count. It was between 18 and 22.
I shouldn't ask embarrassing questions.
That didn't sell too many, I don't think. There was a big company fight and a bunch of junk.
Well, whatever. Anyhow.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, 300,000, something like that.
It's become standard. A standard is something that other singers want to sing regardless, right? And it will keep on being recorded over the years. And it's quite obvious that everybody, sooner or later, is going to take a whack at Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah, well, you kind of do, because somehow, magically, I mean, to me, it's just a story of a man I met in jail. You know, it's just kind of a thing. And but the magic transformation, well, there's magic in the song and the fact that it's in a 6-8 kind of dancing time with a lot of internal rhymes that give it a dancing quality, which happened to be my own personal characteristics of songwriting. I happen to think there's a lot of rhythm, poetic rhythm in waltz time and 6-8 time. I don't even know what they are. I mean, to count them out. Yeah, somebody say count out 6-8 time rhythm, I wouldn't know what they meant, but I understand it because of Bojangles. I've been told that. But
most
all
marches
came together.
Are in 6-8 time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Great. I've been trying to write a good march called We Are Marching to the Right. We are marching to the right. Holy God, we are marching to the right.
Thank you.
Whether you want to or not, whether you want to or not. If you don't march, you'll get trampled on.
All right, we're going to do Mr. Bojangles just a second, but we're going to stop just for a second.
Okay.
Zap.
Time's up.
All right.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and worn out shoes, with silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants. They did the old soft shoe. They jumped so high, jumped so high. Then he lightly touched down. Across
Jump so